Now let's come to the second part of the story. And that is the false prophet. Verse 11, Revelation 13. And I saw another beast rising out of the earth, and it had two horns like a lamb. Now what does a horn symbolize? A king or a person. This has two horns. Could this mean that while the beast is on the rise, there will be the first one who endorses him and then dies in office, and another one comes on the scene? Is that what it means? I don't know. Even the Catholics are in a quandary. Is there one or two more popes to come? They have a little spot in St. Peter's Basilica where they have a picture of every pope. And when he dies, or put in office rather, when he's put in office, they put a picture, they put a little round picture up in this blank space. The Pope is buried in a Santa Claus suit, red with ermine and a black belt. While he lies in state, however, he has on his vestitures. Do you know how they verify that a pope is dead? They have a special ceremonial hammer. It's a small one now. They don't bludgeon his head in. Now, please, don't get any misunderstand what I'm saying. And they take this little hammer and they tap him on the forehead. Pope John Paul II, are you in there? They do this three times, and with no answer in three times, they pronounce him dead. So I've often thought, wouldn't this be something if that there are two popes who overlap the final beast power? One who assures the world that he's a wonderful, wonderful man, and he is really the one from God. Then this pope dies, and another one comes on the scene, and then he starts performing great and wonderful miracles. Maybe both of them perform miracles. Notice what he does. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. So he's speaking Satan's words. And had all the authority of the first beast, and exercises that all the power, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. So this has to happen at a time when the world is worshiping the first beast. But you can't put, you have to, in writing, put those in sequence because you can't crowd the words all together to make them fit in one. So they caused them to. And that they should worship the first beast, of whom, which was, whose deadly wound was healed, and he works great signs, to even that it should cause even fire to come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. So they are in the sight of men that they can see it. And it deceives those that dwell on the earth by the reason of the signs or miracles or wonders that it gives and that it works in the presence of the first beast. This is going to be something. Now, remember in the book of Job, what happened to some of Job's possessions? Fire came down from heaven and devoured it. This is not going to be a high-tech virtual reality kind of thing. This is going to be the real thing. And that they should make an image for the beast which had the deadly wound with the sword and did live. Okay, so that's going to happen. Now then, they are going to change the societal way of doing things at this time. This is when the mark of the beast is going to be put into effect, and it will require choice to commit idolatry. Everyone is going to have to worship the image for the beast, which I covered before, which will probably be an image of the mother goddess, always has been. And you won't receive the mark of the beast unless you worship the image or bow down to it. Notice it follows right after it. And there's going to be a special central image that's going to be made. And this second beast makes it come alive. Now it's an idol because image from the Greek is icon, means idol. Now that's going to be a real miracle, a bona fide miracle. It's not, again, going to be a high-tech thing, I do not believe. Because someone would come along and say, well, that's high tech. We proved it. We picked up the transmissions which made it move, which made it speak. They're going to make the thing really do it. Now notice. And verse 16, and causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the bond, that it should give him a mark. Now the beast that was and is not and yet is, that is healed, is going to give a mark upon the right hand or upon their forehead. It's going to be something put upon. It's not going to be a thumbprint. God put that there. It's not going to be an eye print. God created that. It's going to be put upon. Now then, that no one should be able to buy or sell except he that has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. It's going to be an airtight system. There's going to have to be idolatry first. Comment was made that verse 7 and 17 should be in parallel if you put them together properly. That's correct because that's when it will take place. So it's not one of these things that all of a sudden in the dark of night they change the economic system and all of a sudden now you must have this card. That is all leading to it. Identifying the system. Now let's continue on. Let's finish up Revelation 13 here. Verse 18. Here is wisdom. The one who has understanding. Who's going to understand? When are we going to understand this? How are we going to understand this? I submit every other past thing of trying to understand who the beast was and 666 really was, how it's going to come about has been a failure. Wouldn't you say so? Okay, let's go to Daniel 12 for just a minute. The one who has understanding, he who has understanding, let him count the number of the beast. Who is going to understand? Daniel 12. Verse 8, but I heard and understood not. Then said I, oh, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Who is going to open? Christ. That's who's going to open. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. I think we're going through that right now. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. They aren't going to. But the wise shall understand. When will we understand? When God is ready, when the time is right, He will make it known. 200 years ago, it couldn't be made known because it wasn't the time. The man of sin, the son of perdition, must have come first before we can understand the number of his name. He shall have been revealed. Now then, let's go back to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and then we'll go to Revelation 11, because God always has a few surprises in store. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Let's finish off this section of it here. Okay, exalts himself. Now, verse 5. Don't you remember that while I was yet with you, I said these things to you? So Paul understood it by what? Event, didn't he? Yes, that's how we are to understand it. Verse 6, now, that which is restraining. What is restraining? The events. Those events must come first before he goes into the temple of God. For him to be revealed in his own, or that is, in his set time. There's a particular time when he is going to be revealed. And God is going to make it known. When it's made known, we're going to have to preach it. Now notice, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity is already working. It was already working back then. How many people know that Judaism has wanted to set up a one-world religion headquartered in Jerusalem? Let me tell you a little bit about the Bar Kokhba Revolution. How many know something about the Bar Kokhba Revolution? What was the Bar Kokhba Revolution? Well, as you know, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed, and virtually the face of the earth was scraped. The temple was demolished, and all the Jews banished from Jerusalem. Now, if you were a Jew sitting out here in the hinterland, what could you look to in the scripture which would kind of give you a sign that maybe you would be coming back? How long was the Babylonian captivity? 70 years. 70 A.D. plus 70 years is what? 140 A.D., right? So some of the Jews were starting to come back in preparation for the 140 A.D. event. But Hadrian, the emperor of the Roman Empire, banished all Jews from even entering. In 130 A.D., they couldn't get there. So then Bar Kokhba with Rabbi Akiva. Now, Rabbi Akiva, we found out, was an Edomite. Rabbi Akiva said Bar Kokhba was the Messiah. He was going to recapture Jerusalem and rebuild the temple and usher in the kingdom of God on earth. They came against the Romans very swiftly. It looked like they were going to succeed. They even came up and took Jerusalem. Then the Roman Empire, because it was not time They sent troops in, killed, slaughtered, destroyed, and to this day the Jews view this as one of the worst setbacks they have ever, ever experienced, which is true. The remnant of the army escaped to what is called Masada. Now, Masada is a fortress way up on the cliffs. The mountains are just straight up. Very difficult to get up there, never conquered, and the Romans were determined to get rid of every Jew that was up there. Hollywood made a movie of this, and they showed how the Roman army spent 2 years building their causeways so they could get up to the top of Masada. And they finally did it. But the Jews said, "We're going to deprive you of your victory. We're all going to commit suicide." So they drew lots as to who would make sure that everyone was dead. And I think a woman and a couple children lived and got away. Now the Jews view that, and every officer of the Israeli army must go to Masada and go through a special ritual and vow to never let the Holy Land be taken out of the hands of the Jews again. So we're talking some pretty heady stuff that's going to happen. Now then, this man of sin must be revealed in his time. The mystery of iniquity was already working. Only the one who restrains at present until he come out of the midst. So whoever this beast is going to be is going to come out of the midst of the mystery Babylonian system. Then shall that lawless one be revealed. It's going to be known. God will reveal it. Whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and shall destroy him by the appearing of his coming. Even the one whose coming is according to the workings of Satan in every power, or that is all power and signs and lying wonders. This is going to be awesome. I mean, we're talking about a jaded, cynical generation, correct? It's going to take something to really move them. So this is going to be awesome. And with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness, every trick in the book, every lie and twisting of Scripture and everything, in them that perish. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now that's a real key, the love of the truth. And that's something we always need to have. The love of the truth, which is God's word. The love of the truth, who is Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," correct? Yes. And on account of this, God shall send them the working. Now it's interesting, the Greek here is the inner working. It's going to work in their minds. The inner working of the error or the lie for them to believe the lie that man is God on earth. That all may be judged who believe not the truth, but delighted in unrighteousness. Now, and that may include some brethren that we thought were brethren. I pray that whoever can repent will repent. I don't want to try and preach any of the brethren into eternal death. I pray they all repent. Now let's go back to Revelation 11. We'll come back to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, in just a minute. But let's go to Revelation 11. Because God is going to give his witness. And it's going to be a powerful witness. And it is going to be something. I mean, it is going to be something. And I believe, as I have said before, that the two witnesses are going to be the high priest at the coming temple and the governor of Judea at that time, or maybe a past governor of Judea. And their conversion is going to be just like the Apostle Paul. Bam. Remember how Paul was called right in the middle of going out to, with the authority of the high priest, to arrest, to imprison, and bring back to torture and kill Christians? God took care of him. Well, it's going to be the same way with the two witnesses. Now notice what they're going to do. Revelation 11, verse 1. And there was given to me a reed like unto a rod or staff, saying, that's a measuring rod, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. So there's going to be the temple that's built. Now, they have discovered that the Mosque of Omar does not sit where the altar of burnt offerings was, but it is to the south. So there is room to build the temple, a small one. It's not going to be like the Temple Institute wants. They want to get rid of the Mosque of Omar and make a grand and huge and big temple like Rabbi Solomon wants. Comment was made that in the area of the Temple Mount that there was that tunnel underneath. And the Jews temporarily closed it down, and Netanyahu opened it up. And I don't think he has closed it down again. You see. And they say that's as close as they can get to worship. You see, that's why Jesus said, what did he say to the woman at the well? He said, she said to him, you say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, verily, verily, I say to you that the hour is coming and now is when you shall neither worship in this mountain, that is in Samaria, nor yet in Jerusalem. For the Father seeks those who worship him in spirit and in truth. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the little room they have under there has nothing to do with God, you see. But the Jews feel that they must physically get there. That's why the deception is going to come. Now there will eventually be a compromise. The Jews will understand they can't get rid of the Mosque of Omar, and the Arabs will understand they can't get rid of the Jews, and that they would have greater peace if they allowed them to build a small temple next to it. After all, the Arabs would also benefit from it. Okay, Revelation 11. So there will be a temple. And the court which is without the temple, leave it out and measure it not, because it's given over to the Gentiles. And the holy city shall be trampled upon 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses. So they're going to be converted instantly and given that power. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, that's why it's Zechariah 3 and 4, and the two lampstands which stand before the God of the whole earth. There is going to be no one greater in power on the earth than those two. Notice what they're going to do. Right at the time, I believe, as you go back over that chart, that they come on the scene just before the stopping of the sacrifices. They're going to be witnessing. They're first of all going to witness to the Jews. They're probably going to say to the Jews, this man is not the Messiah, referring to their physical Messiah. So it's going to be something. They're going to witness for God. Now notice, if anyone will injure them, fire goes out of their mouth and devours their enemies. I mean, this is awesome stuff. And if anyone should injure them or harm them, they must be killed in this way. These have authority or power to shut up the heavens that it may not rain in the days of their prophecy, and authority they have over the waters to turn them into blood and to smite the earth with every plague as often as they will. Can you see the intense battle that's going to happen here? And I imagine that the king of the north is going to come against the king of the south, go into the Holy Land, kill the Jewish Messiah, and then he's going to try and do something to the two witnesses he's not going to lay a hand on. Often as they will. And when they shall have completed or finished their witness or testimony, the beast who comes up out of the abyss shall make war with them and overcome them and kill them. And their bodies will be on the street of that city, that great city, which is called spiritually Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified, right there in Jerusalem. This is going to be something. These are events which are just mind-boggling. And all of the people and the tribes and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their bodies 3.5 days, and they will not allow them to be put into the grave. And they that dwell on the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry. Finally, we've gotten rid of them after all this time, and shall send gifts one to another. Because these two prophets tormented them that dwelled upon the earth. So they're going to have a heyday for 3.5 days. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God shall enter into them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon those beholding them. And they heard a great voice out of heaven saying to them, come up here. And they went up into the heavens in the cloud, and behold, and their enemies beheld them. And there was at that hour a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell, and there were killed in the earthquake 7,000 men, and the rest became afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. We have literally here, the last shall be first. So that's something. None of these events are going to take place until the man of sin, the son of perdition, is revealed. Hasn't come yet. So you can take all of these prophecies that men write, you can read them, you can understand where they're wrong now. They are misapplying scriptures to make it fit their scenario. Now there's one man who says 1977, the Great Tribulation begins. Won't happen, because the Son of Man, man of sin, the son of perdition, has not been revealed. I'm in 97. Beg your pardon, 97. We thought it was going to be 1972, didn't we? Yes. There was a man who wrote that in 1988, 88 reasons why Christ is going to return in 1988. It didn't happen. So he had to write a sequel, 89 reasons why he's going to return in 1989, and it didn't happen, and after that he gave up. See? No man is going to schedule God's plan. He's going to do it. Yes, the beast will be revealed before he goes sits in the temple. Yes, the great apostasy first. That will happen. One world religion. Now let's come back to 2 Thessalonians and we'll finish it. Verse 13, but we are bound, or that is duty bound, to give thanks to God always concerning you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, that God chose you from the beginning to salvation and sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm, hold fast the traditions, or that is the teachings, which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle. But our Lord himself, Jesus Christ, and our God and Father, who loved us and gave us encouragement, eternal encouragement, and great hope by grace, may he encourage your hearts that ye may establish you in every word and good work. So may he do that with us, that we are not the children of dark, but the children of light.
The overseas mailing addresses for the Christian Biblical Church of God are as follows. Australia, Christian Biblical Church of God, P.O. Box 30, Glen Huntly, Australia, 3163. New Zealand, Christian Biblical Church of God, P.O. Box 552, Albany, Auckland, 1331, New Zealand. Republic of South Africa, Christian Biblical Church of God, P.O. Box 21279. Hilda Kruin, Helderkruin, 1733, Republic of South Africa. United Kingdom, Christian Biblical Church of God, P.O. Box 7357, Kilmarnock, Scotland, United Kingdom.